She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
I'm Lisa Davis, along with Andrea Donsky, and here on Naturally Savvy, we've talked a lot about holistic treatments for cancer patients, but we have not talked about it for our pets. So we are thrilled to have Dr. Patrick Mahaney on the program. He provides holistic treatment for cancer patients at the Veterinary Cancer Group and is Los Angeles' premier concierge house call veterinarian through his company, California Pet Acupuncture and Wellness. Dr. Mahaney, welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Thank you so much for having me today.
It's so nice to have you on. First of all, I understand that your dog, Cardiff, and I think that's a really cool name, that he was diagnosed with cancer and you were able to utilize herbs and supplements and acupuncture and other things. Why don't you tell us about this? And I'm assuming Cardiff is doing well?
Yeah, well, yes and no. So Cardiff is a 10-year-old male Welsh Terrier. He's had a bit of a history of health problems throughout his life with immune system-related diseases. But in the fall of 2013, he developed an often fatal disease called T-cell lymphoma. When you have lymphoma, which is malignant white blood cell cancer, it can be B-cell or T-cell, depending on the type of cell that's involved. And it's a very poor prognosis, but with surgery, chemotherapy, herbs, supplements, whole food diet, we've been able to get him to a year post-completion of chemo and be disease-free. Unfortunately, he just had a recurrence about a month ago, so he's again had surgery, and he's on herbs and everything, and now he's going to be starting chemo today again. But it's a course that he's tolerated very well, so I'm trying to complement the surgery and chemotherapy treatments with treatments that will help to support his digestive tract, his immune system, whatever we can to keep him feeling better during the process of these other treatments.
Oh, that makes so much sense. So what it really, so it sounds like it's not only to heal, but in cases where it, you know, you're not sure what the outcome is going to be, obviously, just to keep them more comfortable during the treatment, if that makes sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a lot, what we're doing, say, with chemotherapy is we are killing rapidly dividing cells, which can be normal cells and also abnormal cells. So unfortunately, as we do that, there are some side effects that we see, digestive side effects, maybe some decreased white blood cell production because chemotherapy affects your bone marrow. And so we want to try to support the body through that process. I don't really feel like we can say that herb supplements are going to cure cancer, but they're going to support the body in a way that's going to be beneficial during the process of treatment.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, Dr. Mahaney, did you use chemotherapy? Sorry if I missed it. The first time that Cardiff was diagnosed?
Yes, yeah. Cardiff, his cancer is actually unique in that it manifested as a tumor on a loop of small intestine, which is fairly uncommon for lymphoma because your white blood cells are everywhere in your body, and very commonly lymphoma presents as one or multiple enlarged lymph nodes that you might feel like at the jawline, in front of the shoulder, behind the knee. His case, it was a tumor that was growing on a small intestinal loop, and it created a partial obstruction of that intestinal loop, so fluid and food cannot move through. So he had surgery, and then he had 7 months of chemotherapy, a type of treatment called the University of Wisconsin protocol, which involved 4 drugs. And so he went through it really well, and I definitely saw the value in giving him probiotics, whole food diet, B complex vitamins, either as oral, as injections, iron supplements, all those things, and a variety of herbs too. Like some that have complicated Chinese names that I don't know how to pronounce, but a little bit more simple, like turmeric or cat's claw. Those things can really have a great antioxidant effect in the body that can really complement any kind of chemotherapy treatment.
Now, when you first became a veterinarian, was this on your radar, or were you just planning on just, you know, I'm going to go to vet school and just do, you know, the mainstream vet stuff?
Sure. The great thing about veterinary medicine for those of you who are maybe interested in going or in school now is there's really unlimited options of what you can do. It's a matter of finding like what you feel like your niche is and focusing on that. And for my own health, I've always been focused on a holistic approach because I have issues with chronic pain that I want to try to manage while taking little or less medication. And so I've been very focused on healthy lifestyle for myself and the use of supplements as a means of hopefully reducing my need to take medication. So then as I went through my program, actually I wanted to be a radiologist, but that didn't quite work out. So I became interested in acupuncture and herbs and complementary and alternative modalities for pets. And so I got some I went through an acupuncture training course, and that opened my eyes to what else I could do with herbs and with whole food diets and things like that. And that's really one of the important places for pets on a lifelong basis, but especially when they have severe diseases like cancer, is kibble does not exist in nature. Kibble, dry dog food and cat food, is made with ingredients that are considered to be feed grade and therefore subpar for us humans. There are higher allowable levels of toxins that can affect the body on a shorter, long-term basis. And so it's really important on a lifelong basis that owners of dogs and cats focus that on their pets eating diets that are real meat, real vegetables, real fruit, maybe some real grains, depending on the pet's needs, instead of processed foods, because processed foods are slowly or quickly killing our pets.
You know, what's interesting, I guess one of the questions that come up in our house a lot is that we try to give our dog, you know, real food or pet food without any chemicals in it. And then, you know, a comment will come out like, oh, well, he's eating, you know, dirt, or he's eating, you know, another dog's poo, or he's eating trash off the ground. So I guess my question is, you know, when it comes to these animals, do you think a lot of the toxins are accumulating are not necessarily only from the food, but definitely from the food? Because, you know, what I've read the ingredients on dog food and dog treats, and it's horrifying what they're finding, what we find in that food, especially from the big box stores. And, you know, it's very sad. But do you think it happens from just the fact that they're on the grass and they're constantly licking the grass or smelling the grass, or they're just exposed to it from different areas other than food?
Yeah, that's a really, really good point, that our environment is very toxic for our bodies, our people and children and animals. And so we have to try to focus on doing things as non-toxic as possible. So that's where not putting fertilizer or chemical pesticides then on your yard, even inside your house. That actually just was a 60-minute report about high levels of formaldehyde, which is carcinogenic in certain flooring, especially if they come from certain places in China. So it's really important to think about, like, the whole environment is being toxic and trying to minimize the toxic exposure. And that means, like, in your home, not using chemical cleaning products that leave residues on the floor that your pet could lick or get on their paws that they would then wipe off. Not spraying your pet with perfumes and, you know, have shampoos that have really, really strong scents. Really limiting the amount of, like, topical antiparasitics that you put on them, because those actually are neurotoxins. So we want to take, like, a holistic approach to pet health on a lifelong basis and minimize chance of toxin exposure.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I'm assuming that you've seen some really wonderful results for your patients utilizing this holistic approach along with mainstream approaches when necessary.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very important to focus on what we can do to support them in the process of cancer treatment. And it does vary, because sometimes cancer is caught at a certain stage that's very advanced. And at that point, there's very limited capacity to make improvements. And sometimes the treatments themselves can be very toxic. Like when you have a big tumor inside your liver that can't be cut out, for example, and you're giving chemotherapy to kill cancer cells, a lot of those cancer cells will die along with healthy cells, and then your body has to clear all the dead and dying cells. So that's like a whole big detox process that is challenging to go through for any pet or person. And that's where we have to have, like, reasonable expectations about what we're doing. A lot of times with cancer, it may not be curing. It could be putting into remission, which means that there's no detectable cells at the time, but they always could, of course, still be there. So I'm trying to do our best with what we have, of course.
Well, thank you for being on our show today. Unfortunately, we're out of time. That went by pretty quickly. You can visit Patrick Mahoney at his website at Patrick Mahoney. And how do you pronounce your last name? Is it Mahaney?
It's Mahaney. If you're from the East Coast, you may think it's Mahoney. So I always say, like, Mahoney with two A's.
Perfect. Mahaney. All right. So you can visit Patrick at his website at patrickmahaney.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Patrick Mahaney. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. And if you do have a pet, please visit a holistic veterinarian. Stay well.